Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the Believer's Authority was recorded at our 2009 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
I said, I don't know what's going on. I said, let's pray. And so Jamie and I, with his family, we prayed. And 10 seconds into the prayer, the Lord said, it's his mother-in-law. And so I just stopped and I said, this was your mother-in-law that was just leaving as I came in. He said, yeah. And I said, what's the deal? And he said, oh, man. He says, we used to be in the Way International, which was a cult. And he said, we were just so far out there. We did so many dumb things. And she saw us nearly kill ourselves and our children. And she thinks that we're in a cult now, that we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And she comes over here and says, this is foolishness. You're all going to be sick. Nothing. And he started telling me what she said. And I said, that's the problem right there. And I said, you wouldn't let me say that. He says, no way. And I said, but you let your mother-in-law say that because you're trying to preserve peace. And I said, that is Satan speaking death into your life. And because you won't counter it, it's having an impact on you. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, thus saith the Lord. That verse says, no weapon that is formed against you will prosper, and every tongue, this is how the weapons come against you, is by words. Every tongue that rises against you, you shall condemn. This doesn't just automatically work. Every one of you have this promise. And yet I can guarantee you there's some weapons working against you. You know why? Because you haven't condemned them. You haven't judged it. You haven't countered it. There are some of you that drive down the road and listen to the commercials. Jamie and I just did this yesterday about some kind of prostate cancer or something. It says, come on, man, be honest. Are you waking up more frequently during the night and starts off? And I just said, no, I'm not. Thank you, Jesus. You know what that is? I just condemn those words. But there are some of you that watch these commercials about, have you got a headache? Have you got this? Have you got that? And you listen to it. You know what those are? Those are weapons formed against you that are trying to plant seeds. And unless you condemn it, it won't work. You have to judge it. But there are some of you that just let the sewage of the world flow through you and you don't counter it, you don't say anything, and then you wonder, why is it that I've got these problems? Because people have been cursing you and you didn't condemn those weapons. You have to condemn it. You need to do like Jesus. You know what Jesus was doing? He was a human. He was God, but he was in a human body. He didn't look forward to the crucifixion. He didn't enjoy the physical suffering, but it was even more than that. It was the spiritual part. It was becoming sin. He hated it. He hated it. And he was tempted. He even said, Lord, if there's another way, let me get out of this. He wanted another way of doing this. And when Satan inspired Peter to say, we'll never let you be crucified. We're going to stand on your side. This will never happen. You know what that was? That was a temptation. That was a weapon coming against Jesus, trying to get him to compromise and think maybe there's another way out of this. And Jesus turned around and says, get behind me, Satan. He was talking to that demonic spirit working through him. There's demonic spirits that are speaking to you through the media, through books, through magazines, through people that you work with, through family members, and you aren't condemning them. You're allowing them freedom. You're just looking at things in the natural instead of recognizing there's spiritual forces at work. Now, you can do things better than what I've done. There might have been a more tactful way to approach my mother than what I did. But you know what? It worked. It worked. Now, you can be better. You can use more maturity and do it better than what I did, but you've got to operate in this principle that we're talking about and recognize that we're in a spiritual battle. Satan is coming against us, and we are trying to win a spiritual battle with carnal means, not taking our authority. If you understand who you are, Satan can't stand up against you. Satan trembles when people know who they are. You can get to a place when you know who you are, you can walk into a room and demons will start getting uncomfortable. They'll start crying out. Things will start manifesting. That's the way it was with Jesus. That's the way it's been with lots of people. You can stand up. And you know, I want to encourage you tonight that I am not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I have not always done this properly. But I have seen a lot of miracles happen. I've seen a lot of good things happen. And I've stumbled and I've made mistakes, and yet God still uses it. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to always know everything. But just start believing that, you know what? Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Greater is the Spirit of God in me than this spirit of Antichrist. And I'm not going to let this unbelief at work dominate me. I'll change the atmosphere. I change the atmosphere of places when I get in there. I do. And some of you think, well, boy, you're arrogant. No, I'm just sure of what Jesus has given me. It's not based on me. It's based on Jesus. But I know that I can change things. I was playing basketball one time with a group of guys. Never seen them before. We were just out at a place and they wanted to play, so we started playing basketball. And man, they were using profanity and saying terrible things. And so I just, you know, when something happened, I started going, "Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus!" And these guys just stopped and looked at me and like, "What are you doing?" I said, "Hey, I demand equal time. You praise your God, I praise my God." And I didn't say it in anger. I was kind of joking around with them. And you know what those guys started doing? Every time they messed up, they'd go, "Hallelujah!" And they may not have been sincere, but you know what? I changed the atmosphere of that whole thing. Here was unbelievers going, "Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus!" And we had a great time. Amen. You can do it. I remember one time I was waiting to get paid in the Army. And I was standing in this little, it was really cold, Fort Dix, New Jersey, and we were in a little tiny 10 by 10 thing that we were huddling from the wind. We didn't have field jackets on, and so it was cold, and there was about 40 of us just shoulder to shoulder packed into this place, and we had to wait for about 30 minutes. And while we were there, there was this one guy, David Posey, who just got to blaspheming God and saying terrible, terrible, terrible things about Jesus. And I was sitting there thinking, "Oh God, help me to make a difference in this situation." And pretty soon, I mean, just about the time I said that, he stopped and he says, "That's no way for a good old Schofield carrying Baptist to talk." And I said, "You got a Schofield Bible?" And he said, "Yeah, do you have one?" I said, "Yeah, you ought to read yours sometime." And he says, "What do you mean?" I said, "Haven't you ever read Matthew chapter 12, about verse 30 something? Where it says, every idle word that man speak, they'll give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned." And boy, this guy, he got mad and he started pushing his way through that crowd. And right about the time he got up to me, I said, "One other scripture, Galatians 4:16 says, 'Am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?'" And you know what? That guy just stopped. I mean, he was face to face and he just stopped and looked at me and turned his back and never said another word. And for 30 minutes, here we were all huddled together and there wasn't one more word said. Some of you think, "Well, that's terrible." Well, stop the situation. I changed the whole climate. There wasn't any more profanity. There was nothing else said. And did you know I got put into that group with those guys? I got changed in my class and I was put with them. And for the next 6 weeks, not one word was spoken to me. Well, I'd walk into the barracks and they'd all be cussing and they'd see me and everybody just get totally quiet. I'd go sit down at the mess hall and they'd all get up and move. And I'd have a whole table to myself. Nobody would talk to me. Nobody would do anything. And the day before our Christmas leave, they would all go to the pornographic section and look at the stuff. I'd go into the kids section and get out my New Testament and read it. And David Posey came walking around the corner and saw me, and he started to turn around and walk away, and he says, "Womack, you don't think I'm saved, do you?" And I said, "I don't know if you are or not, but you don't act like it." I said, if I was a fruit inspector, I'd say that there's no fruit of it. I said, "I've been praying for you." And he says, I I sing in gospel quartets. He had sung with the Happy Goodmans on stage and stuff. And he says, ever since you've talked to me, he says, I hadn't been able to sleep at night. He says, man, I've been so convicted. He says, could you please pray with me that I'd get saved? And anyway, we had to go back to class, and the next day we left on our Christmas leave. And I said, you know, as soon as we get back from our Christmas leave, I said, I'm going to pray with you. I'll help you. And he's the only person in our whole class that didn't go to Vietnam. He got shipped to Germany, and I never saw him. And I didn't know what happened until 25 years later. I was on television. This is before I had my own program. I was a guest on somebody else's. And I was telling that story about me standing there and challenging him over these scriptures. And he was in another room. And he says, I know that voice. And he came walking out. Turns out he's an Assembly of God associate pastor in Tennessee someplace. And he came up where I was preaching. And we got reunited. And he told me all that story. But you know what? God used it. I didn't do it perfectly, but God used it. Brothers and sisters, you're the one that is alive. Other people are dead. We ought to be the ones that are bold. You need to get out of this chicken spirit thing and start recognizing that you are the anointed one and that we are in a spiritual battle, and take your authority and stand up to the devil. I'm not talking about being mean to people. I'm talking about standing up to the spirit that works in the children of disobedience. Recognize we aren't fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And if we would do that and begin to start taking our spiritual authority and quit asking God to do what He told us to do, then I guarantee you would start seeing miraculous results. And the rest of this week, I'm going to start sharing some things. This was all introduction tonight. And the rest of this week, I'm going to start sharing some things about where did Satan's power come from. And it's going to shock some of you to find out that Satan is not the one that the church has represented him to be. Our brand new book is entitled, The Believer's Authority, and the subtitle is, What You Never Learned in Church. And I can guarantee you, you're going to hear some things that will totally change the way you see Satan and his power. It'll change your attitude about yourself. It'll give you a boldness. It'll help you tremendously. So I encourage you to come back.
That's all the time we have for today. But be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the Believer's Authority. The Believer's Authority is available for the very first time in book form and can be ordered through bookstores nationwide. Or you can receive a copy when you send a gift of any amount for the work of this ministry. Request book R327 when you write or call or when you go to our website. A Spanish version is also available. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series RM234 or DVD series R3205 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the first teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.